You're listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominey. Out Loud Bible Project is on a mission to read the entire Bible out loud in a conversational and approachable way, so you can recognize your part in this conversation between you and God.
Hey, welcome back to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast. Mike here. We're reading the Bible like we would have a conversation, and in this conversation, we're just trying to find our next best yes in our conversation with God. Not always easy to say yes to God, is it? As we've been discovering here in the book of Numbers, God even promises things. God even provides. God even shows himself in some miraculous, obvious ways sometimes. And yet, when trials come up, when things look scary, when things feel hard, and yet he's calling us forward, we still want to say no. And our context here for today's reading is last episode. The people were brought all the way to the promised land. They finally made it to the promised land after being slaves in Egypt for 400 years and God sending Moses to lead them to this place. They finally made it. And lo and behold, it was scary. It was full of giants. The cities were fortified. The people were nasty and vicious and huge. And God's people were scared, and they rebelled. They said, we can't do it. We're going to go back to Egypt. Let's find a new leader. Let's go to Egypt. And did you see how God threatened to wipe them all out? And Moses, again, for the second time, went to God and spoke to God back his promises of you promised that you would deliver these people. You said that you are a loving and gracious God. Did God need to be reminded of what he said or need to be reminded of his attributes? Did he need to be talked off a ledge? No, he's not petty. He's not volatile like that. But it's another test for Moses. It's like, Moses, do you remember what I've said? Do you doubt my character too? Because everyone else seems to have doubted my character. Do you? And Moses, fortunately, sets a good example for all of us. Like, let's remember what God promised. Let's remember that even when it doesn't appear that way to us, even when things are hard, let's keep remembering what God has said about himself, that he is loving, he's gracious, he is just, and he is holy, and he does demand purity and righteousness. And when we don't do that in a flagrant display of disobedience or dishonor, or even accidentally as we stumble into our own uncleanness and our own sins, we need to understand our place before God. And in today's reading, God's going to continue the process of purification, rooting out the sin and the uncleanness that develops in our hearts, and root out the rebellion that, in this case, literally crops up. And in our own hearts, even, we find our rebellion where we try to go our own way and want to do things our own way. Let's see how this plays out in Numbers 15 through 17. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and tell them, when you have come into the land of your habitations, which I give to you, and will make an offering by fire to Yahweh, a burnt offering or a sacrifice to accomplish a vow or as a free will offering or in your set feasts to make a pleasing aroma to Yahweh of the herd or of the flock, then he who offers his offering shall offer to Yahweh a meal offering of 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of oil. You shall prepare wine for the drink offering, 1/4 of a hin, with the burnt offering or for the sacrifice for each lamb. For a ram you shall prepare for a meal offering 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/3 of a hin of oil. And for the drink offering you shall offer 1/3 of a hin of wine of a pleasant aroma to Yahweh. When you prepare a bull for a burnt offering or for a sacrifice to accomplish a vow or for peace offerings to Yahweh, then he shall offer with the bull a meal offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/2 hin of oil, and you shall offer for the drink offering 1/2 hin of wine for an offering made by fire of a pleasant aroma to Yahweh. Thus it shall be done for each bull, for each ram, for each of the male lambs or of the young goats. according to the number that you shall prepare, so shall you do to everyone according to their number. All who are native-born shall do these things in this way, an offering made by fire of a pleasant aroma to Yahweh. If a stranger lives as a foreigner with you, or whoever may be among you throughout your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire of a pleasant aroma to Yahweh, as you do, so shall he do. For the assembly there shall be one statute for you and for the stranger who lives as a foreigner, a statute forever throughout your generations. As you are, so the foreigner shall be before Yahweh. One law and one ordinance shall be for you and for the stranger who lives as a foreigner with you. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and tell them, When you come into the land where I bring you, then it shall be that when you eat of the bread of the land, you shall offer up a wave offering to Yahweh. Of the first of your dough you shall offer up a cake for a wave offering. As the wave offering of the threshing floor, so you shall heave it. Of the first of your dough you shall give to Yahweh a wave offering throughout your generations. When you err and don't observe all these commandments which Yahweh has spoken to Moses, even all that Yahweh has commanded you by Moses, from the day that Yahweh gave the commandment and onward throughout your generations, then it shall be, if it was done unwittingly, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bull for a burnt offering, for a pleasant aroma to Yahweh, with its meal offering and its drink offering according to the ordinance, and one male goat for a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and they shall be forgiven, for it was an error, and they have brought their offering, an offering made by fire to Yahweh, and their sin offering before Yahweh for their error. All the congregation of the children of Israel shall be forgiven, as well as the stranger who lives as a foreigner among them, for with regard to all the people it was done unwittingly. If a person sins unwittingly, then he shall offer a female goat, a year old, for a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement for the soul who errs when he sins unwittingly before Yahweh. He shall make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. You shall have one law for him who does anything unwittingly, for him who is native-born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger who lives as a foreigner among them. But the soul who does anything with a high hand, whether he is native-born or a foreigner, blasphemes Yahweh. That soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he has utterly despised Yahweh's word and has broken his commandment. That soul shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be on him. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him in custody because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Yahweh said to Moses, The man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside of the camp. All the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, as Yahweh commanded Moses. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and tell them that they should make themselves fringes on the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put on the fringe of each border a cord of blue. It shall be to you for a fringe that you may see it and remember all Yahweh's commandments and do them, and that you don't follow your own heart and your own eyes after which you used to play the prostitute, so that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am Yahweh, your God. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took some men. They rose up before Moses and some of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the congregation, called to the assembly, men of renown. They assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, You take too much on yourself, since all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Yahweh is among them. Why do you lift yourselves up above Yahweh's assembly? When Moses heard it, he fell on his face. He said to Korah and to all his company, In the morning, Yahweh will show you who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. Even him whom he shall choose he will cause to come near to him. Do this, have Korah and all his company take censers, put fire in them, and put incense on them before Yahweh tomorrow. It shall be that the man whom Yahweh chooses, he shall be holy. You have gone too far, you sons of Levi. Moses said to Korah, Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel? To bring you near to himself to do the service of Yahweh's tabernacle? And to stand before the congregation to minister to them? And that he has brought you near, and that all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you? Do you seek the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company have gathered together against Yahweh. What is Aaron that you complain against him? Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and they said, Now we won't come up. Is it a small thing that you've brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? But you must also make yourself a prince over us? Moreover, you haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? No, we won't come up. Moses was very angry and said to Yahweh, Don't respect their offering. I've not taken one donkey from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Moses said to Korah, You and all your company go before Yahweh, you and they and Aaron tomorrow. Each man take a censer and put incense in it, and each man bring before Yahweh his censer, 250 censers, you also and Aaron, each with his censer. They each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and stood at the door of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Korah assembled all the congregation opposite them to the door of the tent of the meeting. Yahweh's glory appeared to all the congregation. Yahweh spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. They fell on their faces and said, God, the God of the spirits of all the flesh, shall one man sin, and will you be angry with all the congregation? Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the congregation, saying, Get away from around the tent of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Moses rose up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He spoke to the congregation, saying, Depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they went away from the tent of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side. Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little ones. Moses said, Hereby you shall know that Yahweh has sent me to do all these works, for they are not from my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they experience what all men experience, then Yahweh hasn't sent me. But if Yahweh makes a new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belong to them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall understand that these men have despised Yahweh. As he finished speaking all these words, the ground that was under them split apart. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households, all of Korah's men and all their goods. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol. The earth closed on them, and they perished from among the assembly. All Israel that were around them fled at their cry, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up. Fire came down from Yahweh and devoured the 250 men who offered the incense. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning and scatter the fire away from the camp, for they're holy. Even the censers of those who sinned against their own lives, let them be beaten into plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before Yahweh. Therefore they are holy. They shall be a sign to the children of Israel. Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers, which those who were burned had offered, and they beat them out for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial to the children of Israel, to the end that no stranger who isn't of the offspring of Aaron would come near to burn incense before Yahweh, that he not be as Korah and his company, as Yahweh spoke to him by Moses. But on the next day all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, You have killed Yahweh's people. When the congregation was assembled against Moses and against Aaron, they looked toward the tent of meeting. The cloud covered it, and Yahweh's glory appeared. Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. They fell on their faces. Moses said to Aaron, Take your censer, put fire from the altar on it, lay incense on it, carry it quickly to the congregation, and make atonement for them, for wrath has gone out from Yahweh. The plague has begun. Moses did as Aaron said and ran into the middle of the assembly. The plague had already begun among the people. He put on the incense and made atonement for the people. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now those who died by the plague were 14,700, in addition to those who died about the matter of Korah. Aaron returned to Moses to the door of the tent of meeting, and the plague was stopped. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and take rods from them, one for each father's house, of all the princes according to their father's houses, 12 rods. Write each man's name on his rod. You shall write Aaron's name on Levi's rod. There shall be one rod for each head of their father's houses. You shall lay them up in the tent of meeting before the covenant, where I'll meet you with you. It shall happen that the rod of the man whom I shall choose shall bud. I'll make the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against you, cease from me." Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and all their princes gave him rods, for each prince one according to their father's houses, a total of 12 rods. Aaron's rod was among their rods. Moses laid up the rods before Yahweh in the tent of testimony. And on the next day, Moses went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, Aaron's rod for the house of Levi had sprouted, budded, produced blossoms, and bore ripe almonds. Moses brought out all the rods from before Yahweh to all the children of Israel. They looked, and each man took his rod. Yahweh said to Moses, "Put back the rod of Aaron before the covenant, to be kept for a token against the children of rebellion, that you may make an end of their complaining against me, that they not die." Moses did so, as Yahweh commanded him, so he did. The children of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, "Behold, we perish. We're undone. We're all undone. Everyone who keeps approaching Yahweh's tabernacle dies. Will we all perish?" Seems like a desperate situation, doesn't it? See, this whole time through these stories, we could easily think, well, God is so wrathful. What's up with God's wrath? Why does he just seem angry, and why does he fly off the handle? And it flies in the face of what we understand for God to be love, and God is loving, and his loving kindness endures forever, and he's gracious and slow to anger. Well, first of all, those things can still be true. And he is slow to carry out his judgment. He's been giving people plenty of opportunities to grow soft, to soften their hearts toward him, to trust him. And yet, his patience isn't everlasting. His love may be, but his patience isn't everlasting. It will run out. And when we see these times, we have to kind of turn our perception not just toward God is love, but also to have to balance that with the tension of the fact that God is holy. We can love God all we want, but do we fear God? The fear of God, or the lack thereof in their case, is what caused all of this hardship that they were experiencing. And what's the point? Is it so that God can just get even? No, it's because God is holy. And if we continue to reject him and continue to live unholy lives in rebellion against him, then there are consequences. Ultimately, if God can bring us to this point where we're like the children of Israel who are saying, "What we are undone. We're just undone. Everyone who keeps approaching God dies." Like every time we try to experience God, we just are just struck by our own unholiness, our own sin, our own wretchedness. Like, what, are we all going to perish? But the story doesn't end there. This all points to the need for a savior. All of the laws, there's too many laws. You can't keep them all. And that's the point. We can't be holy enough. We can't be good enough before God. We need something. We need some sort of hope. We need some way for God to not just keep pounding us with our own consequences of our sin. Enter Jesus. Jesus is the bridge. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. He dies and atones for our sins. God's been foreshadowing this model of sacrifice atoning for sins for thousands of years. the law, God's laws, God's holiness is too much for us. We can't handle it. That's why we need Jesus. That's how even the book of Numbers points to Jesus. That's the Thinking Out Loud thought for today.
You've been listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominy. When you become a patron of Out Loud Bible Project, you help make the Bible accessible for people who desperately need to know they have a role in this conversation with God. To learn more, visit outloudbible.com and click Support This Project. Thanks for listening.